Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, March 2nd, the year of our Lord, 2025. And today is Transfiguration Sunday. It is a joy to welcome you here to the podcast, and I pray that our time together will be a time of revitalization and renewal and reflection. And so let's begin, as is our custom and practice here. We begin in a spirit of thanksgiving, and we start by taking in a big, deep, beautiful breath. The breath of life, the gift of life. Take in another breath and hold on to it. Savor it. Name it for the gift that it is. This is the gift of life. We're grateful. We're grateful to God for this gift, this vital and important gift, the gift of breath and life. And as you breathe, I encourage you to call to mind the people and the places and the opportunities that light you up inside, that bring you joy and encouragement and strength. Think on these things, your favorite places, the people in your life that are precious. And as you call these things to mind, as you call these people to mind in these places, perhaps open your hands and lift your arms in a sign of gratitude and thanksgiving. Maybe turn your face toward the sky. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be together. Thank you for every good thing. And join us in worship, we pray. And so let's join in our call to worship. You can find the call to worship printed in the digital bulletin that comes with the podcast. If you go over to the left of where you found today's podcast, just below the line, there's a tab there that says Sermon Notes. If you click inside there, the bulletin will come up for you. Let's begin. As we gather today, let us remember the moment when Jesus was transfigured before his disciples, revealing his divine glory. This is my beloved Son, hear him. In the presence of the Almighty, his face shone like the sun and his garments became dazzling white. And while he was praying, the appearance of his countenance was altered. We come to witness the light of Christ, who calls us to deeper faith and commitment. Lord, we seek your glory and your truth among us. Let us open our hearts to the voice of the Lord, who speaks to us in love and invites us to follow him. We are here, Lord. Guide us in your ways. Together, let us worship the one who transforms our lives and leads us to the fullness of joy. Our gospel reading today comes from Luke's gospel in the 9th chapter, verses 28 through 43. Now, about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking about his exodus, which he was about to fulfill in Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but as they awoke, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. And just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us set up three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not realizing what he was saying. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. On the next day, when they had come down from the mountain, a great crowd met him. Just then, a man from the crowd shouted, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son. He is my only child." Suddenly a spirit seizes him, and all at once he shrieks. It convulses him until he foams at the mouth. It mauls him and will scarcely leave him. "I begged your disciples to cast it out, but they could not." Jesus answered, "You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you and put up with you? Bring your son here." While he was being brought forward, the demon dashed him to the ground in convulsions. But Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. And all were astounded at the greatness of God. This is the word of God for the people of God, and we give thanks to God for it. Take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of this, your good word, this living word, this inspiring word, this word of eternal truth and light. And so we pray you join us as we gather together around this, your good word, and you'd help us. You'd calm our minds, you'd settle our spirits, focus our attention. We pray, dear God, save us from distraction and misinterpretation so that we could hear you, so that we could see you, so that we could experience you in every word. We pray this in your holy name and we say, Amen. Well, friends, I feel compelled to share with you the weather report from Pensacola Beach. In a word, beautiful. It is so perfect outside right now. Clear blue sky, just a gentle breeze. Maybe it's 70 degrees right now. And as I'm standing here in the sanctuary, we have this beautiful, the east wall of the sanctuary is just all windows. And I see families, they got their kids in the wagon and they're heading over to the beach, and folks out walking their dogs and riding their bikes or sitting on the porch with a cup of coffee. It's a perfect, beautiful morning. And I pray some of that warmth and beauty might somehow radiate itself out to wherever you are this morning. And maybe that's an appropriate image for this, the day that we tell the story of the Transfiguration. This story that serves as the exclamation mark on the season of Epiphany. The season that begins with the telling of the story of the coming of the wise men from the east and this brilliant, bright star in the sky, which leads to a mother and a father and their son, their beloved son. And it culminates today, this exclamation mark on the side of a mountain in a brilliant, bright white, in the voice of the father that draws attention to the son, to listen to him. That's the season that we've just been through. Mountaintop moments and miracles, who Jesus is and why he's come, what it means that he loves us and saves us and heals us, and along the way he teaches us what it means to be participants in this ministry. Starting to get back to the text here in Luke 9, Jesus has just done that kind of teaching. At the beginning of chapter 9, Jesus sends the apostles out on a bit of a mission trip. He sends them out vulnerable, with just enough provisions to make their way, knowing that in their vulnerability, that will force them to encounter people of good charity. And as they make home in places of good charity, the Holy Spirit moves. So their mission trip ends. They come home. They're excited to tell Jesus about it. Jesus believes it's a good idea for them. Maybe we'll go off on retreat and you can tell me all about it. But that doesn't last very long, because once the crowds realize where they are, they follow. Because the healing and the provision and the teaching, the world needs it and the world presses in. And so he's gracious with his time and their time. And so there's a time of teaching and preaching and healing, this Jesus thing that he does. And it goes on and on. And at the end of the day, people are hungry. And we have the beautiful story of the feeding of 5,000 with bread. And in the midst of that, or in the wake of that, then Jesus does some teaching. And the teaching is hard. And it's about what must happen. The Son of Man must suffer many terrible things, he said. He will be rejected by the elders and the leading priests and the teachers of the religious law. He will be killed. But on the third day, he will be raised from the dead. Mountaintop moment, right? Healing, teaching, preaching, brilliant power coming out, miraculous feeding. And then, which sets us up then for today's story, a second attempt at a bit of a retreat, this time just with a few. Jesus takes Peter and John and James up the mountain to pray. And we don't know the details of what they prayed about, what kind of conversations they might have had on the way up the mountain. The apostles, disciples, had heard a lot, seen a lot, experienced a lot. And Jesus needing to have some one-on-one time with them to begin to equip them for what was coming. They are on their way to Jerusalem. And so in the midst of this prayer retreat on this mountainside, the disciples, the apostles, they fall asleep. But then they're awakened. And what do we find that they see? As Jesus was praying, the appearance of his face was transformed and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared and began talking with Jesus. And they were glorious to see, and they were speaking about his exodus from the world, which was about to be fulfilled in Jerusalem. So much here. Let's just touch on it a little bit. Jesus with Elijah and Moses. Jesus as the fulfillment of the prophets, Elijah, and the law, Moses. Jesus bringing about a new exodus, a new liberation from captivity and sin, which will take place in Jerusalem, just like he said back in verse 21. All this is going on, and Peter and the others wake up to it. And so I'll just start at verse 32. Peter and the others had fallen asleep. When they woke up, they saw Jesus' glory and the two men standing with him. As Moses and Elijah were starting to leave, Peter, not knowing what he was doing or saying, blurted out, "Master, it's wonderful for us to be here. Let us make three shelters as memorials, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But even as he was saying this, a cloud. I think it's really important for us to think about it. Don't just read through it. Let that story come alive in you. They wake up to see something miraculous. Do they wonder if they're still dreaming? Overwhelming. Peter just scrambles to have a response. Tries to ritualize something that he can't explain, or he doesn't even know what he's doing, as the text says. And in the midst of that, this cloud starts to surround them. And you can imagine that would be scary. The cloud overshadowed them, and terror gripped them as the cloud covered them. And now they're standing in the midst of the cloud, on the side of a mountain, having just seen the great prophet and the great lawgiver with their teacher. And in the midst of this cloud, a voice, "This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him." When the voice finished, Jesus was there alone. They didn't tell anyone at that time what they'd seen. Did they even know what they'd seen? They'd seen it. I'd imagine they exchanged knowing glances. "Did you just see that? Did you just hear that?" How would we explain that to the others? You just sit with it and let that voice from the cloud ring in your ears. "This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him." Well, eventually they have to make their way down the mountain. So the next day, after they'd come down the mountain, here come the crowds. A large crowd met Jesus. And among the crowd, like all the crowds, people come seeking healing. And there's a man in the crowd, and he's got his boy with him. And he pleads with Jesus, "Please heal my son. He's afflicted with an evil spirit, and it makes him shake and foam at the mouth, and it barely ever leaves him alone. And I asked your apostles to heal him, but they couldn't do it." And I read this next part as Jesus' heartbreak, his frustration, as evidence in Epiphany, who is Jesus and why has he come? We see the divine all the time, but here is the man. Here is the emotional, the exhausted man. And what does he say? He says, "You faithless and corrupt people, how long must I be with you and put up with you?" I read that as pure frustration. Pure exhaustion. Crowd after crowd, healing after healing, teaching after teaching. wondering if the apostles will ever be able to do what he does, wondering if there'll ever be enough grace and capacity for charity that the healing of the Spirit can come. But very quickly, after expressing his frustration, what does he say? He says, "Bring your son here. Bring your son here." And he heals him. And it happens before the entire crowd. He heals them, and they're all gripped with amazement. On the mountainside, they were gripped with amazement. In the valley, they are gripped with amazement. The presence and the power of God shining brightly like lightning, like incredible white garments, radiant, the absolute revelation of who Jesus is, why he's come in brilliant, bright light in the form of a cloud and the voice of God. And then down amidst the desperate tears of a father who's hoping this will be the day. Bring your son here. I can help him. This is our good God. And these are the ways we encounter God. A few things as we make the transition from this season of Epiphany to the season of Lent. Let's look at just in a few verses here. Multiple times Jesus goes off to pray, to be on retreat. Sometimes it doesn't last very long, but the intention is to find time to commune with God and to have mountaintop moments, no matter how fleeting they might be, but to take the time to get away, to speak with God, to listen to God, and to be given eyes to see the revelations of God with us. We've experienced this sometimes in forms of prayer or just sublime kind of mountaintop, extra special moments in our lives, like our weddings and baptisms, the birth of our children and grandchildren, moments that seem to just transcend and suspend the stuff of human frailty and allow us to see the brilliance of God's good creation. And sometimes those last for a season, and sometimes those moments maybe just last for an afternoon, and then we have to come down to the valley, we go back to work, the mail comes, and there's still a stack of bills there. But it's the strength of the revelation that we found in the sublime mountaintop moment that gives us the strength to persevere in the valley and to confess the ways we get it wrong. But in the midst of it all, to be able to hear his voice and say, "Bring your son here, bring your daughter here, bring your suffering here, bring your fear to me, bring your lack of faith and your doubt, bring it to me." Remember the times we've spent together. Rehearse and remember the stories of when I walked among you. Store them in your heart. Remember the mountaintop moments. Allow them to be your fuel and your strength for the days when you are called to walk in the valley, as he had been teaching prior to this day of transfiguration. "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross daily, and follow me." He's been a living example of this all along. He's been teaching on this all along, last week and the week before, this Sermon on the Plain. Live your life with open hands. Store up for yourself treasures in heaven. This is carrying your cross. Live a life of self-sacrifice. It's beautiful. It's transforming. It's transfiguring. It's rich good news. To which I say, Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you. We thank you for the mountaintop moments, moments of clarity, awe-inspiring moments, mysterious and powerful moments. And we pray also for the times when you've met us in the valley, when we've come to you with our needs, and you've brought us your blessing and your healing. And we confess that we have been faithless at times, that we have sinned, that we've said things we shouldn't have said, we've been quiet when we should have spoken up, we've lashed out when we should have restrained ourselves and been passive when we should have been in action. But we come to you to claim the promise of our faith that if we come honestly, as the scripture says, with broken spirits and contrite hearts, that you won't reject us, that in fact you'll forgive us. And so we do just that. Here we are, just as we are. And we ask to receive your forgiveness. We ask to be made whole so that we could go forth from this day and serve you and give ourselves away for others. And so in that spirit and in celebration of that healing and truth, God, we call out to you and we pray, God bless this, your good world. And we pray for people in positions of leadership and power and influence. We pray that they would hear this gospel and that they would respond to it, and that you would lift up leaders who will embody grace and peace and inspire others to do the same. And we pray for our friends and our neighbors. And we pray, O God, for those that we name as enemies, because you instruct us to, and for such is the kingdom of heaven. And God, we share with you our prayer lists, this collection of joys and concerns that we keep close to our hearts. Sometimes we write it down and we read it to you a few times a day. Sometimes it's just written on our hearts. Sometimes it makes us pace the floor in the middle of the night. You know this list. So we take a moment in this time of prayer to share this list with you, to turn it over to you, and to sit quietly in your presence, to listen for your voice. And we break our silence. And we thank you, God, for the gifts of peace and quiet. We thank you for our faith and the generations of faithful men and women that have come before us, that saved for us, passed on to us our scriptures and our prayers and our songs and our sacraments and our rites and our rituals, so that we could name you and glorify you, to be saved by you, And among all of these things, God, we inherit a prayer that goes by your name. And we humbly ask that you would hear us as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And so, my dear friends, as we prepare to go our separate ways, as we prepare to make our transition into the season of Lent, may we do so in full celebration of the God of the mountaintop, God of the valley, our God, that we know in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who is with us every step of the way and bids us peace. Go in peace. Amen.